In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, last evening in the 5 o'clock Mass, I was listening to this gospel as Deacon Richard was reading it. And a phrase jumped out at me at the end that I had really, in all my life, 60 years, not paid much attention to. And it made me basically change everything I was going to say about the readings. Because at the end of this gospel, Jesus says, it says here, many began to believe in his name, and they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them, because he knew them all, and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. Jesus knows you. He knows me. In and out. Inside and out. He knows all the good we're capable of in our human nature. Works of charity, humility, kindness, generosity. No. Things that we can do that really build up humanity. And he knows our fallen, weak human nature. Our capacity to sin, to turn our back on God, on each other, to do what's wrong, to hurt our neighbor rather than help them. He understood it well. See, Jesus took our human nature upon himself in all things but sin. But then he was humble enough to take our sin from our human nature upon himself. That's the whole sense of the cross. Jesus suffering what we should have suffered for our salvation. Him taking our sins upon himself from our weak human nature in order to unite it to him so that he could free us from that sin and give us new life, uniting us to himself. This is what God has done for us. He knows us well. He knows us inside and out. He knows all that you can do, all that you're capable of, good and bad. And he wants to cleanse us of the bad so as to make us full of the good. You know, St. John, he puts this reading at the beginning of his gospel, chapter 2. But the other evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all put it after the triumphal entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, 1 week before his death on the cross. And on that Sunday, he goes in and everybody's screaming and hollering, "Hosanna to David in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they're proclaiming him as the son of David, the king. And that same human nature, 1 week later, will be so fickle, so weak, that it will change from Hosanna to crucify him. That's what we're capable of. And he knew it well. So he would not trust himself to them because he knew them all. See, Jesus knows that we can't do it alone. He knows that we need his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, because otherwise we're going to blow it, as we often have. And so he takes that human nature to heal it. That's why he became man, to take a share in our human nature in order to give us a share in his divine nature, to purify us of the fallen weaknesses of our fallen human nature because of sin, and to restore us once again to grace. This is the sense of our faith, of the gift of God, of our salvation. That's what he has done for you. That's what he has done for me. Didn't we all just pray at the beginning of this Mass, I hope sincerely, no? When we said those words, and we say, it's probably the prayer we most talk about ourselves in, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my deeds, in my actions, etc. Everything we say in that prayer. No. My fault, my most grievous fault. No. Pray for me, we say. Pray. No. Because I'm a sinner. My fallen human nature. And yet God has restored me by his grace and given me the opportunity to live a life united to him. You see, Jesus goes in and he makes a whip of cords here and he runs out the money changers and the sellers and those who are selling, you know, the oxen and the sheep and the doves, and stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. And then he says, destroy this temple, referring to his body, no, and I will raise it up on the last day. He cleanses the temple and then speaks of his temple. And then St. Paul later will say, don't you know that you are the temple of God? That you are a member of his body, and as such, you have been given the gift of the Spirit, that you have been cleansed of your sin by God through baptism and received from him the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Trinity that dwells in you through grace. That's who you are, a temple of God. And we need to ask ourselves, right now in my temple, this Lent, does Jesus need to make a whip of cords? Does he need to cleanse my temple from the sheep and the oxen that I've put in there in my own life, turning it into a marketplace? No. Whether it be because of my pride, my envy, my lust, my anger, my judgmentalness, my criticizing of others all the time, my selfishness, all those things that dirty the temple and turn it into a selfish marketplace for our own vain glory. No. And Jesus wants to purify that. He wants to cleanse us of it. He wants to fill us with his grace and his love so that we can transmit that love to those around us. But oftentimes, we let other things, our very own selves, get in the way. And thus our temple, rather than being what God wants it to be, filled with grace and striving to live in a way according to his will, I know I do often, we fail. No. And we need him to come through. We should actually beg him, Lord, get that whip out and get these things out of me, because I need my temple to be clean. I need it to be purified. I need to trust in you. I need you to be able to say, not I wouldn't trust himself to them because he knew them all, but I know you now, and you want me there with you, and you don't want these other things in you, and so let's get rid of that so I can fill you with my grace. No. Jesus understood our human nature very well, that battle that there is within each one of us between good and evil. No. That struggle that we have when we feel the need to do what is right, but then we go and blow it. Or when we know we shouldn't do that, but it's so enticing and we fall. He knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. He loves you more than you love yourself, probably. That's why he was willing to die on a cross, to save me, to save you from this human nature, which tends so often to the vices and sins of this world, and wants and longs for the grace and the happiness and the truth that only Jesus Christ can give. There's a pathway in the first reading. It's this reading from the book of Exodus. It speaks about the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you read this, chapter 20 of Exodus, there are 10 commandments, as we all know. The first three speak about our relationship with God, and then the last seven about our relationship with each other. The first three take up most of the page. On the first commandment, it goes on and on about how I'm the Lord your God. Have no false gods before me. Don't make idols and worship idols. You worship only the Lord your God. And some people say, as Catholics, we worship idols because we have statues of saints. No, he doesn't say don't make images. Don't make images that are idols. In other words, that you are worshiping in place of God. We venerate the saints as examples we should follow to live holy lives like they did, honoring God. But this goes on and on about how we should put God first. It's about 15 lines here. And then don't take the Lord's name in vain. You know, that's not, some people think, oh, I said my God. That's not taking the Lord's name in vain, okay? When you say my God, it's a prayer, actually. You're surprised by thinking, oh my God, look at that. You should continue it with, God, please help them and whatever it might be, and make that prayer complete. Taking the Lord's name in vain is when you blaspheme against the name of God, in despising the name of God, when you say something and call on God as your witness and you're actually lying and deceiving. That is taking the Lord's name in vain, right? You will not go unpunished, it says here. And then remember the Sabbath day. Remember to give God the best of your life, the first, the foremost. All the things you have to do, set them aside for a day. We do that on Sunday now. And we say, Lord, this is your day. Completely, every day is your day, but I especially want to honor you today. That's why we come to Mass and pray and strive to do things in family, on Sunday. Those first three are the essential element of how to live the last seven. Because if I truly love God above all things, if I truly strive to honor his name and to do what is right and good before him and give him the best of myself, then obviously I'm not going to go kill people. I'm not going to commit adultery and steal and bear false witness and covet other people's things because my heart's in the right place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all else will come unto you. That's why Jesus summed this all up in the gospel by the great two commandments. Who sums up the law and the prophets, he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, above all things. And then love your neighbor, no longer as yourself. Jesus changed that, by the way, because that's not enough, he said. Love your neighbor the way I love you. In other words, more than yourself, because I'm willing to die on a cross for you, so be willing to do the same for your neighbor. That sums up the law and the commandments. Put God where he should be in your life. Allow him to cleanse your temple so that you can live in his grace and be filled with his spirit. That's what we need to ask him every day. That's what the sacraments are for us. And when we have, how many times have we, rather than honor the Lord our God and not make false gods, have we allowed false gods into our life? You know, how many times have we given more importance to Benjamin Franklin than... You know what I mean by Benjamin Franklin? No, the $100 bill. It's got his picture on it. Yeah, we're more worried about having money and material possessions, that we get that in the way of loving and honoring God. Or so many other things that we can, you know, we get angry or upset because why does my neighbor have two trucks and I've only got a bicycle, you know? The material goods and we want to have, rather than be what we are called to be. No, I'm not saying that material goods are bad. No, they're good if you use them properly. But don't turn them into something that they shouldn't be. Don't put anything or yourself or anyone else in the place of God in your life, in your temple, in your heart, in your mind. Gaudium et Spes, number 16. Gaudium et Spes is a document from Vatican II. It talks about the life of the church in the modern society. It says, the human conscience, your conscience, is that interior, internal tabernacle where you are alone with God. Tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? It's the place in the church where Jesus resides. And it's making a reference to how your conscience, your soul, is that interior tabernacle where you are alone with God. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, don't get out and look, make everybody see you. No, go into that interior. Right now you can do it. That inner tabernacle, and be with me, pray with me, talk with me, live for me, decide with me. When you're going to do something, right or wrong, decide, let me be your criteria for decision. No, that inner tabernacle, he wants to cleanse. I'm pretty sure most of us here, probably all of us, maybe there's still some preparing for it, have been baptized. So we have been cleansed by the Lord. We have received his grace. And you are a temple of God. But I'm sure most of us, probably all of us, especially those of us who are more advanced in years, have to admit that we have not always kept the temple clean. No. There's some few young babies here that are innocent. that I'm sure God looks upon them and says, it's good to have a nice clean temple down there. But he looks at most of us and says, hey, I'm going to have to take my whip out because you haven't exactly always done what you should do. I mean, we come here and we pray fervently and we talk to God and we want to be good. And then we go out in the parking lot and somebody backs out the wrong way and, you know, we get angry and upset or you dumb, dumb. Hopefully that's the nicest thing we say, right? Or whatever, you know. We allow, you know, that internet picture to get, oh, let me look a little more, you know. Pornography, which invades our mind and our hearts, or avarice, or gluttony, or laziness, or all those things which dirty our temple, which dirty my temple. Well, I preach to myself here, not just to you. We are sinners, every one of us. And to deny it, well, that's your sin. You're so proud, you can't even recognize your own sinfulness. That's called pride. We are all sinners. No one's escaping from it. But we are also all loved and by God, and he came to save every one of us, to give us his mercy and his forgiveness. That's why if we have stained our temple after baptism, I'm sure we all have, then he gave us another sacrament that wasn't instituted by man. It was instituted by him. Jesus Christ, to his disciples, said, I give you the authority to forgive sins. And so the sacrament of confession is one that we should long for, look for, desire, in order to allow God to cleanse our temple constantly and keep us in line with his grace. I've had some beautiful experiences this Lent. Beautiful. We have confessions every Tuesday at 6, every Saturday morning at 9. Or whenever you're really in need, just come and ask me, and I'll confess your sins. Because I've had people coming back after 40, one who had never confessed in his whole life and is an elderly man. Another 45 years, 30, 15. And it's so beautiful to see a soul come back and recognize. The first thing a priest says to a soul like that is, welcome home. Good to have you back. God's been waiting. No, he's so happy that you're here today. And you know what he's going to do? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. No matter what you've done, even if you've killed or committed adultery or stolen or borne false witness or not put God first and had idols and done superstitious things and not kept the Lord's day and didn't even care about going to Mass and being with the Lord. And no matter what you've done, you know what he's going to do? As soon as you say, God, I'm sorry because I did all this. I filthied your temple. He's going to say, I absolve you. All I expect from you is that act of humility to say, I'm sorry, forgive me my sins, and I will take those sins from you. And God will say, I don't want these either. So he'll destroy them forever. That's what confession does. It destroys our sin and restores our grace, cleanses our temple, and allows us to live as sons and daughters of God. So if you haven't been to confession for a while, don't be afraid. Come home. Come back. He's waiting. He wants you. Oh, I just go to God. Yeah, well, he gave us a way to go to him directly with the surety of absolution through the sacrament of confession. And a sacrament is God working in our soul directly. The priest is just the instrument, but it's God who works in your soul directly through that sacrament. And even if you, the Bible says, are as your sins are as scarlet, he will make them whiter than snow. No, he will make you whiter than wool. That's how God forgives. He doesn't hold it over here and say, I'm going to throw that back in your face next year. We do that. No? Ah, you did that to me? Next time you do something, I'll remind you did that to me. No, God doesn't do that. We give him our sins. He wipes them away. They don't even exist for him anymore. And in their place, he gives us his grace and his mercy. And he says, now go and sin no more. To the prodigal son, he said, dress him, get him in the house, let's have a party, forget his past. It's his present, his future that I'm worried about. To the adulterous woman, he says, does anyone condemn you? No, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. Don't go back that way, go that way. That's what God does, that's what confession does. You know that if you confess at least one time a year, now that's all the church requires of us, at least once a year, that's the church norm. Then you can go to Mass every Sunday and receive communion. as long as you don't commit any grave mortal sin. If you commit a grave mortal sin, you kill somebody, commit adultery, commit impurities, masturbation, or things like that, and you're in grave sin, stealing or whatever, then you need to get back to confession ASAP. But if you haven't committed a grave mortal sin, and you've gone to confession at least once, and you go to Mass every Sunday on the holy days of obligation, you can receive communion throughout the whole year. If you need to get back to confession, if you have committed a mortal sin, you shouldn't receive communion until you come back to confession to cleanse your temple. Because as St. Paul says, if we receive unworthily, instead of receiving salvation unto ourselves, we are receiving condemnation unto ourselves. So it's important to recognize the sacrament is God's work of grace in your soul. But if I confess at least once, now I recommend going 2, 3, or 4 times a year. Because the more you get closer to God, the more you recognize, hey, I am a sinner. Even my venial sins, even though the Mass forgives those, I need to humbly recognize them before God through the other sacrament, which is confession. And say, I lie sometimes. They're white lies, Father, but, a lie's a lie. I lack charity in my words, or sometimes say things I shouldn't say to my spouse or my kids, or, all those things we all do every day. The just man sins 7 times a day. Imagine me. Right? We are sinners, and we need to recognize it. But we are also sons and daughters of God, redeemed by his grace, who wants that grace to fill our hearts and souls. So if you haven't been to confession for a while, now's the time. Don't wait. Come back. No? Don't be afraid, and don't be too proud to do it. No, all confession needs is an act of humility. The very fact of coming is already an act of contrition. And God wants to cleanse your temple, to fill you with his grace, because confession does not only wipe away sin, it increases God's grace, his divine life, in your soul. Gives you the strength to fight temptation in the future. Helps you to be the son or daughter God wants you to be. It's sad when somebody comes and says, my last confession was when I made my first confession, which was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Sad that they hadn't been back sooner. But it's also a moment of rejoicing and great joy for me. As I says, wow, God's been waiting for you for 40 years, and now he's so happy you're here. No? My brothers and sisters, let's let the word of God sink in. He knows us inside and out. He doesn't need anybody to tell us about our human nature because he understands it well. He knows all the good that we're capable of, and he knows all the bad that we're capable of. There's nothing you can hide from him. No? So you shouldn't even try. But he's always willing to give you the grace that you need to be the man or woman he called you, created you to be. He's always willing to give you his mercy and his love, always. There's only one sin that God can't forgive, the sin of death, which you all know what it is, when you reject his mercy, when you say, God can't forgive me, and you reject his mercy. That's the only sin, because he won't force his mercy on you. And that sin of rejection of his mercy is you condemning yourself, not him condemning you, because all you need is an act of humility to say, God, I'm sorry. And he will forgive whatever sin you've ever committed in your life. Let's ask God to help us, because I preach this for myself before you, because I'm probably a bigger sinner than all of you. I'm not afraid to say it, because it's the truth. Okay? Anybody who doesn't think themselves as a sinner, wake up. Smell the coffee and lose your pride and realize, I need salvation. I need God. And he is more than willing to give his grace to me if I'm humble enough just to ask. So, Tuesday evenings at 6, Saturday mornings at 9, and we'll stay here until the line ends. It's often 2-3 hours. But what does the priest think when a soul comes like that? Wow, what a marvelous soul that has wanted to put God first and live according to his will for the glory of God and the good of his neighbor. Let's ask God to help us to live this Lent in a sincere effort to overcome our sinfulness, to cleanse our temples, and to live as true sons and daughters of God. He wants it. I hope you do too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.